right. So this is episode 11, and we're going to talk about episode 12 at the same time because this was over the holidays and we were all busy with families and holiday stuff. So we didn't record. So we're going to do two at the same
Yes.
time today.
I for Christmas and like New Year's was not an excellent time to be trying to schedule a podcast.
No, it really wasn't. And the good thing is these episodes actually fit really neatly together. They
They
kind of
do.
feel like a two-parter, so I think it's going to work out fine. So, episode 11 starts with Philippa's funeral. Still, they're right where they left off in the previous episode, and Adira sees Gray, and Stamets goes into full dad mode. What did you guys think?
I was like beginning of the season, I was making jokes about like, oh, Stamets is their adopted father, da 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 da. And I was like, oh no, Stamets is their adoptive father, and I'm so here for this. Like, it's so cute.
It really is. He does it so well too, just because he has that caring nature, which we didn't know. Okay. I'm saying he has a caring nature. Like in the beginning of season one, I never would have said that. But now, of course, we know more about him. So we see that side of him.
I think maybe now I have this impression that maybe Stamets is so he cares so much about the people he cares about that he keeps people at a distance because he doesn't he you can only care about that so about like that many people so much.
He does. He cares deeply.
Maybe this was a part of his character that was missing from previous seasons, and now he has the chance to show it to us.
That's true. Because he's never had this kind of character to interact with. They find a life sign on the ship inside the nebula, and they realize that so Saru reveals that Dr. Issa was pregnant, but he hadn't shared that information before, which I wasn't sure how I felt about that.
Yeah, I was like, that's a little weird, Saru. Like, I was like, I assume it was more just being kept as like a surprise for the audience, but I was like, that seems like vital information.
That he did not share with the class.
Well, because especially because everyone was like, oh, look at the radiation poisoning. It would have very easy to be like, oh no, that those are marks about pregnancy.
Yeah, he said he didn't say anything about it. So I thought that was interesting.
Just like weird flex, Saru. Why?
I think maybe he didn't share the information because he didn't understand what he was looking at. Well, that woman probably was pregnant, but he didn't understand the context, maybe. And as a captain, your people expect you to understand anything.
True. Maybe he
So
wanted information.
maybe that happened.
Yeah. So they are going to send an away team. Well, Saru wants to go in with Discovery into the nebula, but then Booker ends up having to go in with his ship, and he gets radiation poisoning by doing that. And I think, just writing wise, that was to clue the audience into how we're going to treat people with radiation poisoning at this in this era, how long they have, those kinds of things, so that we would then know what these other people are going to be experiencing when they go in. That was the larger part. This was just a little crash course for the audience. They realize the ship has crashed into a supply of dilithium, which of course the Emerald Chain wants.
Yes, they've
So, how did the Emerald Chain find out that the supply of dilithium was there?
I'm still not sure. I could see them somehow like having tapped Starfleet communications.
Like, do you think it was just a happy circumstance that they were following Discovery and they didn't realize about the planet until someone told them later? Because
I
Book
mean
was
that
kind of like, I'm going to tell you where to find it at the end.
yeah, I could see that because I could see them just being like, we need the spore drive. Oh, wait, we can get more dilithium? That seems easier.
Right. We have the technology
Trying
for
to
this
figure out.
right now.
Yeah, then trying to figure out how to rep like replicate whatever's going on with Stamets.
Yeah. So I have a question. This might be a military thing or it might just be a Star Trek thing. I don't know much about either one. So Tilly takes the Conn, C-O-N-N. What is that short for?
Oh, maybe it's taking control, maybe?
Conn is nautical term. It's the act of controlling a ship movement.
Okay.
I'm reading Wikipedia.
Okay, so it's a nautical term.
Yeah.
I like that. That reminds me of Pirates of the Caribbean when he would be like, no, we're going to commandeer that ship. And then he's like, it's a nautical term. I love that movie. Okay.
Yes, I always thought it was something like taking the helm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tilly takes the Conn. Saru, Michael, and Hugh beam down to the planet. And they're transformed into other species, which I loved.
I love the first second where you, I think it was a really good, sneaky, but in like a good way to keep, kind of show Burnham and Culber in the preview to like, so people were like, oh, something cool's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And keep Saru the surprise.
Yes. I'm so glad they did that because
seeing Doug Jones's face was such a nice surprise.
Yes. And it was a little clue because they showed his feet first and he wasn't in those heel things with the shoes designed for his feet being, you know, up. He was just in normal shoes and it was like something big is going to happen. And I was just so excited to see his face because, you know, it's been 3 years and this man has been acting under this prosthetic this whole time.
I honestly realized as I was watching him there, and obviously I'd seen interviews and such with Doug Jones, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen him act not in prosthetic, like, for years of following him from, like, the Hellboy movies to now.
Yeah, that's kind of his niche, I think.
Yeah. But I was like, it's nice to get him to see him just be able to act and not have to, like, I was like, yeah, he's also, like, an actor. He doesn't always need to be in prosthetics.
Right. So they find this character who grew up on this crashed ship on the planet thing that it's making a planet like a holodeck program that the mom has programmed. And, you know, she must have died when he was young if she programmed this to finish raising him. So that was really sad.
You reminded me a lot of Future Imperfect.
Yes.
The TNG episode where it's the premise is like right like what it turns out to be. But Riker goes, he thinks it's like 20 years later and he's forgot the last 20 years. It might be longer than 20 years. But he has like a son in this like thing and it turns out to be like a holodeck from this little alien boy who was left alone and just wanted someone to come like a real person to be there.
Mm. Season 3, I think.
Yeah, okay. It's fairly early on. I kind of one of the episodes I just randomly rewatch all the time. And in a very cute thing though, future Riker names his son Jean-Luc.
Aw. Saru gets to meet an elder, which he's never seen a Kelpian that old before. And even though it was programmed, it was still special to him. Mm-hmm. I just hope maybe next season we get to see him with some actual real life Kelpians again and not.
Right.
Yeah. Hologram.
To be like, this is cool.
Yeah. Like, he was so touched. And that, you know, information turned out to be important, of course. Discovery is captured by the Emerald Chain. Adira ends up going with Saru and Culber. Mm-hmm. And they bring these med packs and pills for the radiation, which extends their time. We don't know by how much, so the clock is still ticking on them when we leave them at the end of episode 12.
I want to have the scene where Michael has to pretend to be part of the hologram.
Yes. Wasn't that
so good?
She does so well with kids.
I know. It's like one of those things. I was just like, Michael with little kids is always the cutest thing.
I feel like you can just tell she's a mom.
Yeah, definitely. And got her big smile. And I was like, oh, I wish the show let her smile more.
Yeah, we don't see enough of those. So Asaira takes control of Discovery. She really tries to get into Tilly's head about not being ready for command. And I thought that was so interesting because in a way they're breaking the fourth wall. And you can see when they wrote it that they predicted the fandom response to Tilly becoming first officer and taking command. And they're having Osira say all these things to her that we've seen on social media about her not being ready, and giving Tilly a chance to respond to that. That was actually really fun to watch.
Yeah, there was part of me, I was like, wow, didn't know the writers were psychic. It's a fun new fact.
Using both ships then, Osira sneaks into the Federation headquarters aboard the Discovery, and Vance figures it out kind of last minute, but still in time. She tries to negotiate an armistice with Admiral Vance. What did you guys think of that?
It surprised me, but I was just like, oh, she's more dangerous than I thought, because I can see why people who don't see the horrible things you do think she's being reasonable.
Right.
I did want to point that I was like, I kind of wonder how I read his character. I was like, I wonder if he's like switching sides in the last episode.
I do feel like he will, because he was very shocked when Osira killed Ren.
Poor Ren.
Oh, I know.
And I was like, no.
I know.
I liked him.
Yeah. I was really shipping him with Tilly.
I know. I was like, darn it.
And I kept my wish that she was going to have a ship this season.
The two people, I was like, oh, Tilly has a good connection with them. They both died.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
It's a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating. Okay, so then Admiral Vance is negotiating with Osira. Michael and Tilly are working to take back control of Discovery. There was this great scene with Michael and using the vacuum of space to clear out the Jeffrey's tube around her.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah, I thought that was particularly well done.
Also, I loved seeing all the the bridge crew work together to being able to work together. So it's just like mess with them without actually having to do anything. They were just epic nonsense Morse code back and forth.
Yeah, that was cute. Toward the end, Michael ejects Stamets into space in this bubble.
After he was so hard
for the lives of Hugh and Adira. And it really feels like, and we mentioned this earlier, it really feels like he's adopted Adira. That was heartbreaking.
I do think Stamets is emotionally compromised. The fact where Stamets,
he definitely is. And, you know, to her point, they were going to use him. She ejected him out for his own safety and for the safety of everyone on board.
It'd be one thing, if it was any other crew member. But yeah, I was like, Stamets is literally too important. If something happens to Stamets, you guys are all screwed.
Yeah. And, you know, she was protecting him because clearly they were going to use him.
I mean, they'd already, mind controlled him once.
Right. Yeah.
Similar situation to Arian. Last season.
Oh, okay.
When she dies, it's the same. She's under control of control. And they have to sacrifice her, because if not, she's going to hurt everybody.
That's true. Yes. That's what you said to me, because I messaged you after I saw it. I was like, she shot him out into space. And then you said something about she learned the lessons of Arium. And I was like, it's true. It was just hard to watch him go off in that bubble.
I know. I have enough faith in Stamets that once Stamets calms down a bit, there's a reason that in real life, if a policeman or someone like that, own family member is the person in danger, you don't send them.
Yeah.
Because they cannot think clearly.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's not And it's not like an insult that you can't think clearly. It's no one could think clearly in that situation. If you could, that would be kind of weird, honestly.
Yeah. That kind of brings us to the prediction part of this at the end of the discussion here. And that is, what do we think is going to happen? You know, do we have some sort of inside information knowing that Hugh and Adir are going to be okay? Or, you know, is Stamets going to have to work through this next season? Please tell me we know they're going to be there.
I have in my head, like, just something I thought about that I'm pretty sure they are going to be okay, because isn't the actor that plays Adira in that D&D group?
What if they just really like playing? I don't know.
They seem to be in Vancouver currently. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
They seem to be filming.
That's a clue.
Also, Doug Jones is definitely filming in Vancouver and he's with them.
Okay. So that's good. I mean, I don't know if Kelpians have some sort of special, like, survive radiation.
Only survives. Oh, no. The character I'm worried about is Admiral Vance, because he's clearly gone to the, like, oh, you can trust him. And I was like, you definitely trust him now? I don't think he's going to make it.
I'm concerned for his safety. I did like the .23s communicating a bit like a bumblebee from Transformers.
And actually... I can't remember what she called them, but they remind me of Jet Reno's little buddies the first time you saw her.
Oh, yeah.
Random question Iwata. During all this entire thing. Where's Jet?
I don't know. Adira mentioned her at one point, saying that she got her pills from her.
Yeah.
So she was name dropped.
Yeah, it was like she was at the funeral and they just got her. I guess maybe he's not part of the bridge crew, so I guess they were, like, probably sent her with the rest of the crew. But
yeah, we could go with that.
No, I do love the grand tradition of Star Trek guest characters just kind of, like, going on and off, and you're like, but they're stuck on the ship. Where did they go? Like, especially Voyager characters, I'd be like, where did they go?
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah,
they don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, I feel like either Osira is, like, dying at the end of the season, or, like, it turns out, like, I'm just the first step. There's a bigger, badder boss over me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was one of the questions I have here. Do you think the armistice is completely done for? Or if Osira dies and she's out of the picture, can the Federation and the Emerald Chain come to some sort of understanding, some sort of agreement where they come together and unite if she's out of the picture?
That, I think, might actually be possible. It's hard to unite behind a war criminal.
Right.
Which is, you know, the point Admiral Vance was trying to make.
Right.
We don't cuss on the show. But his line about what the replicators
stopped
to make this. And I was like, you know, it is a useful tool. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind eating that if, you know, it stopped people from starvation. Like,
sure.
Or saved people from starvation. But it was really funny.
Lewis was reminding me that plants turn manure into food for us, and I was like, but I trust plants more than I trust a replicator.
You know, maybe in what, how long is this from us now? I was like, maybe it'll be okay by then. To be fair, okay, this is a little different, but you can purify the other thing that comes out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're drink it.
Learning about that in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of people who were, like, camping and, you know, got stuck somewhere and just had to heat it up and, you know, they survived that way. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that is probably safer than the water that's from a river.
Mm.
There's less, like,
just the way he told her was so, it was so great though. And then he still takes a bite of the apple anyway.
The comedic timing.
Yeah.
So good.
It was good.
I actually was just like, or I'd like just finished watching the episode and my mom put the TV show Younger on. And the actor that plays Admiral Vance just happened to be in that episode. And, and I was like, oh, well, like.
There he is.
But no, I was talking to someone and then I was saying something. I was like, oh, yeah, I trust him now. And they're like, why didn't you trust him before? And I was like, because he's an admiral in Star Trek.
Yeah.
I don't need another reason.
Inherently don't trust them.
If you were an admiral, you didn't, like, even the only one I can think of as, like, they presented as, like, a good guy was Admiral Ross. And he still was really shady.
Okay, another question for predictions. Do we think the Vulcans are going to come to the rescue next week? And if they do, are we going to see Gabrielle Burnham again? Because Michael did get that message off to her mom.
I wasn't thinking about that, but now that you're mentioning the message, I think maybe.
Yeah, so this will be some way to unite the Vulcans along with the Federation again.
Yeah.
Probably.
It'd be... What was the name of the planet now?
Nivar. Something like that.
Nivar?
Maybe. As I see, it has not been brought up. What about the Romulan technology of using mini black holes to zoom around the galaxy? It seems like it would be really useful right now.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that a lot. But yeah, it hasn't been brought up on the show. And it feels like a missed opportunity.
If the burn had happened and like the Romulan Empire hadn't already collapsed, if the burn had happened, they'd be like, we win.
Yeah.
Like... We didn't rely on the lithium, so I was making a joke with someone. I was like, judging for the last two finales of Star Trek shows, where's Riker showing up?
Right. Like, I know. I'm
half maybe.
Well, and okay, so I was watching Generations the other night, and the last line is that he intends to live forever. Riker says, I intend to live forever. And I'm like, there is no reason then that he cannot show up 900 years in the future on Discovery and save them, because in Picard and Lower Decks he did.
I was talking to someone, and then someone reminded me like that Lower Decks and Discovery were supposed to be switched so you wouldn't have two season finales in a row with the same person coming to save the day.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Any other predictions? Yeah, for next week for the finale. I can't believe we're already at the finale.
It's interesting because I feel like I am less certain about how the season will end because it's so different from the other seasons and that it's so much more like character based than like we got to get through this plot, we gotta go.
Yeah,
which I have really been enjoying, and I think it's the right move, like three seasons into a show, to be like, let's just hang out with the characters for a little bit.
I don't think we are going to get all the answers we are waiting for, so maybe it will.
I don't think so either.
It will be an open end.
Yeah.
So are we going to rescue the Kelpian?
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. If he is the one that caused the burn due to his emotions somehow, we don't even know how that would have... They just know that something happened when he got really upset that was measurable.
I mean, I also wonder if, like, if he's not in that ship, maybe it wouldn't cause that. Like, it's just, like, the being surrounded that by that much dilithium in that nebula with that song, I guess. Because that the frequency had something to do with it, right?
Maybe. Do we know?
I don't know. I thought they said yes, and then they just haven't brought up that song again. And I was like, oh.
We know where the burn happened, apparently, and we know who might have caused it in this Kelpian, but we don't know much other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know why.
I've also never been the sci-fi fan that was like, I need the scientific reason, da 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 da.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, it happened.
Yeah. And almost the science fiction techno babble doesn't really help.
No, I mean, that's when you get my favorite thing, this occasionally during TNG, they'll be talking about why transporters aren't working, and they'll basically be like, there wasn't enough bandwidth. And I was like, excuse me? Like, you mean the same, literally the same thing it's making it play Netflix right now is what controls the transporters?
Yes.
I will be interested to see, like, what happens with, like, because I feel like Gray is going to pop back up. And it'll be interesting to see whether Gray... see whether Gray is going to stay a character that shows up, but only one character can see him,
mm-hmm.
or if Gray will like be brought out into like the real world in some way.
There's so many options.
Yeah,
because it's science fiction, they can really do whatever they want. Well, did we see Gray as a child in the preview?
I think we definitely saw Gray. I don't remember if it was as a child. The previews go so fast, I miss half the stuff, I'll be honest.
They really do.
Like, there was always stuff that people were like, screenshot later on, being like, huh, cool. Like,
that was in there? Yeah.
Yeah. Besides Admiral Vance, do we think everyone, like, Admiral Vance is the character I think most likely. That's it. Do you want to do a death bowl for characters like us? That's what I'm asking.
Yes,
I think Admiral Vance is most likely.
80%
I like Admiral. Dead. Yeah, I like Admiral Vance for the record. I don't want him to die, but
right.
Osira, 100%, she's going to die. And Vance, maybe 80%.
I don't want him to die, but my track record of characters I like either turning out to be evil or dying, he doesn't seem to be evil, so.
Yeah. Oh, is Aditya Sahil, who we saw in the pilot, going to show up again for some sort of a cameo of the Federation, you know, being whole, some happy feeling with another human walking through his area? Are we going to see that?
What I'm hoping is yes. And what I'm hoping is, so hopefully this ends with, we got a bunch of dilithium now. Mm-hmm. And then maybe so they can start spreading it out throughout the Federation, and maybe you see him like just happily sitting, and like it becomes like a thoroughfare.
Yeah, with other beings walking past him. Yeah.
Well, the episode is That Hope Is You Part 2, so it's quite possible.
So the first one was the pilot. That was the name of the pilot.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I remember. Okay, that makes sense, because I remember being like, this is part one, but the other next episode does not say part two. Excuse me?
Yeah, I was confused by that too.
I mean, then okay. They also did Unification 3 in the middle of the season, so
right.
Which I got emotional just looking at the name of that episode, so that's who I am as a person. Do we think they'll say none?
Oh, yes, I do think we will. I think that she will show up if the Vulcans show up to help. I think she will show up with them. Yeah. They will send out a signal and request help on the way.
Be great. It's just like as a nod to the last two seasons. If just one of them just happens to have like a hologram of like Riker somewhere.
Yes, please.
I don't know why, but I felt like I needed this.
We need like EMH Riker or something. Whatever he would be.
I'm pretty sure that so his end of Picard thing was filmed like on one of the bridges for like Discovery. Because he was like he directed this last episode.
We haven't seen the president of the Federation yet.
That's true. I was thinking about that. When I watched it only the second time, Vance refers to the president of the Federation. I'll have to run this armistice by that person.
That's a really, really old Riker.
That would be awesome.
The president of the Federation was someone we actually knew, but I'm thinking it could be like Osira, where we're all expecting to recognize her, and then we just turn around and go, oh, who's that?
New person. Okay, wasn't there something in Picard? They were on this planet for a reason. The planet had some special powers, right? That was going to help their son.
Oh, yeah. They were on a healing planet because it was supposed to help Thad because he had a disease that they banned the cure to.
Exactly. So if he's been eating vegetables from the healing planet all this time,
maybe making that pizza made him live forever.
Yeah, he might very well show up in this season finale.
Great. I was also trying to be like, I know it makes no sense. I want Riker, though.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Discotheque Podcast.